Hello and welcome to a special edition of Knitcast from Paris, the French capital. I'm in the apartment of designer Kate Gilbert, and we've also got some building work happening in the neighbouring apartment. But Kate, I'd like to start by talking about Clapperty, because it was published in the online knitting magazine Knitty, and it's just taken the knitting world by storm. Are you surprised by the impact that it's had?
I'm very surprised, and really, I had no idea until I started seeing it all over on people's blogs. When it was published, I really didn't think anybody would really like it very much, and a couple people here and there I saw, you know, everybody talks about Knitty when it comes out and the patterns they like, and I saw a couple people said, oh, I like Clapperty, but I figured it wasn't going to be particularly popular. But on the other hand, I feel kind of disconnected from it because I'm over here, so I know two people who've made Clapperty. And they're both in my knitting group here, so I haven't seen all the Clapperties that everybody told me that they saw in New York or all over.
And what's the story behind Clapperty? How did the design come to you?
Well, honestly, I was looking to make a very simple design. I didn't want to have to deal with sizes, so I started thinking, oh, I'd kind of like a scarf, and so I started designing a scarf where I dropped the stitches, but it wasn't knit on the bias, it was just straight. And I was knitting in the metro, actually, and I just decided to play around and see what would happen if I started trying to knit it on the bias instead. And I sent a swatch to Amy Singer at Knitty, and she liked it, and she helped me pick out a yarn, and there you go.
And how does that process of selecting a yarn for a pattern work?
Well, it depends what the pattern is for. For Knitty, Amy has relationships with some yarn companies, so she can send them to you, which is great. Otherwise, I choose a yarn that I like. Unfortunately, I'm very picky, so I'm always looking for something that has a nice color and I like the feel of, and it's nice to work with. And also, usually I'm looking for either wool or cotton or something in particular in terms of the fiber content.
The actual sample made for Knitty was made from Lorna's Laces Lion and Lamb. But there's been a Clapperty knit along. People have made it from all sorts of yarns, from sort of sport weight cottons and acrylics to other mixes of wool and silk. Was that a bit of a surprise for you?
No, not really, because actually I think I've never followed a pattern in my life. So if you write a pattern, I think you have to let go of it, and people will do with it what they will. Maybe they'll use something horrible that you'll hate, but you can't really do anything about it. So actually, I've seen a lot of beautiful ones. I've seen some that were made in even lace weight yarn. I know somebody made one in, I think they made it in a mohair, which I think they're a little crazy, honestly, because they had to drop all the stitches one by one. The stitches wouldn't fall down like it did in the Lion and the Lamb. Yeah, I think people have used all sorts of things, and I'm really glad, actually, that it turned out to be a versatile pattern and that everybody found a way to make it their own.
And people have adapted it as well. I've seen Clapperty hat and a Clapperty shrug as well. Have you seen those?
I saw the hat. I didn't see the shrug.
Well, the shrug is over on LiveJournal. Someone has basically just folded it down the middle, really, and sewn either side to make this quite spectacular shrug. But something that I was talking to you about was that in your original design, you've sort of posed the Clapperty one way with the loopy way around, but a lot of people are wearing it another way around as well.
Yes, I prefer with the purl side out, and I did not block it, and I was very against blocking it, because actually in the Lorna's Laces, when you don't block it, the dropped stitches pop out and make little waves, which is actually where the name of the pattern came from. So I liked it that way, because I would actually wear it purl side out, and I would twist it a little bit, and the dropped stitches would bump and wave around and move when I moved around. I think it's nicer that way, honestly, but you know, everyone can wear it how they like.
Your latest published design is for Interweave Knits. It's the Union Square Market sweater, and that's made the cover of the fall issue of Interweave Knits, so congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Tell me the story behind that sweater and the design of it.
I have sketchbooks that I just kind of carry around with me, and I make little doodles in when I see a silhouette that I like, or maybe I'll see someone on the metro with an interesting cable pattern or something like that, and I'll make little sketches, and then later I'll go back through my sketchbooks and I'll look and I'll see, okay, what would be nice for this, or maybe I'll find a particular yarn and I'll be looking for something to make out of it. So with that one, actually, I really wanted to make something with a drapey neck, and then I decided to make it with, I'm not sure if anybody's really seen it because I know that it's not out yet, but on the shoulders there are buttons. The shoulders don't actually, they aren't seamed. And then I had a yarn that I really liked that I wanted to try for that. And the yarn ended up being changed, but I was quite happy with the yarn that was chosen.
The yarn that was chosen for the design is a French yarn. It's a Plazard Alpaga.
Yes, actually, I'd never worked with Plazard yarn before, and I really liked this. It was nice. A lot of alpaca, sometimes it seems a little itchy, but I thought this felt pretty nice, and it was quite nice to knit with. It is a little thin, so this is not a sweater that you're going to finish real quick in a weekend, but I really liked the drape that I got with this yarn.
So how long have you been knitting?
I started knitting in high school. I'm not actually sure. I don't remember anymore if I was 16, I guess, around then. And honestly, I have no idea why I started knitting. I just wanted to. And one night after dinner, I went to, you know, some local big discount store, and I bought some needles and I bought some yarn and I got some books out of the library and I started figuring it out. And so I just taught myself. I didn't know anybody who knitted for years and years and years. It's quite nice now that, you know, through blogs and knitting groups and stuff, I finally know other people who knit. But for a long time, I was the only one, and I was the big weirdo.
And from that, when did you first begin to make up your own patterns to start creating your own designs?
Actually, it was my second project. I'm pretty terrible sometimes about following patterns. There's always something I want to change. Either the yarn wasn't the yarn I had, or I wanted to take out a stitch pattern or add one or change the neck, or I wanted to make it fit more snugly. So immediately I started changing patterns, and then actually my second project, which was a gigantic disaster, I decided to design a sweater and I had no idea how to make a sweater. I'd never made one before. I never finished it. It's still at my parents' house someplace. It's actually just like a giant poncho almost. I'm not sure what it is.
You've had designs published both online and in print, but I understand that the submission process can be quite different. Tell me how you went about yourself getting these designs published in the first place.
Well, for Nitty, I made the Anouk pattern, which was a pinafore for little girls, and I knit the whole thing up, and it was actually a present that I had made for my friend for her baby. And I wrote the pattern, I sent it, I had no idea if they would take it or not, and they did. And then for Interweave, I knit a swatch and I did some sketches and I explained how I wanted to put the piece together, and then it was taken.
You're American, but you live in Paris. How did you come to move here?
I came over to be with my boyfriend at the time. I was working in New York as a designer, and it seemed as though the company I was working for was probably going to go out of business, and I was a little frustrated and restless. So I said, what the heck? And I moved to be with my boyfriend.
What's the Parisian knitting scene like? I mean, we've seen these Stitch and Bitch groups happening across America and starting to happen in Britain where people are knitting in public. Does anything like that happen in Paris?
Yeah, for the last year or maybe two, I really don't remember, sorry. There's been a knitting group that gets together pretty much every Thursday now in a cafe. It's quite nice because I met a lot of knitters here before. I mean, for 2 years, I didn't know anybody here at all who knit. And then it was actually through blogs that I found a couple of people in France who are knitters as well, and then the group started up. It's nice because I've got to meet French knitters and not just American ones. But knitting, of course, here, it's not as popular as it is in the States, but I think it's starting to become more popular. And they've talked about it on the news a few times. Everyone tells me, oh, did you see on the news? They're talking about knitting and how it's so cool. And my neighbor's convinced that I'm going to become a millionaire designing knitting patterns. So.
But is there anything that you like to knit just for fun?
Actually, I really like knitting lace, and I've tried designing lace, but I haven't been so successful yet. I get a little fed up. So yeah, I usually knit lace projects from other people's patterns, and I think that's nice. Actually, it's quite nice sometimes to not design something because it's more fun to sometimes just to sit down and do it and do something simple. On the other hand, I always like to complicate things and I always end up changing something and then I say, oh, forget it, I can just do it myself.
You're pregnant. Have you been knitting any clothes for baby, maybe from your own designs?
I knit one hat, and actually it was my Shining Star hat, which is on my site. I haven't honestly had time. I've been too busy lately with knitting deadlines and life to be able to sit down and knit many things. Of course, when I know if it's a girl or a boy, it'll be much easier to do that. I do have some designs in my head and in my sketchbook. I just haven't gotten around to writing them up or knitting them out.
We talked about the knitting scene in Paris, but what about the yarn stores and the scene here? I know there is some department stores that sell yarn as well, but what is it like really to buy yarn here?
Well, for the most part, yarns are sold brand by brand. Each brand has its own shop. At least that's the way it is in Paris. I know that maybe outside of Paris that's not quite the case, but here you have your Fieldart shop, you have your Bergère de France shop, you have your Annie Blatt shop. And of course, you have to go to each shop if you're not looking for something specifically from them. If you're looking for example, a purple wool, you're going to have to go to all the shops and hopefully find what you like, which can be a little frustrating. It makes me miss the way the shops are in the States, where you have loads and loads of just different yarns and different brands all smashed together and you can compare them. But here they seem to really like acrylic. There's a lot of wool mixed with acrylic. I tend to be more of a purist when it comes to my yarns, and there's a lot of wool acrylic blends. They don't seem to leave the wool alone.
And you'll find links to Kate's site, the Clapperty pattern, and Knit Along on the Knitcast blog. That's at www.knitcast.com. You can email me via feedback@knitcast.com. And if you like listening to Knitcast, then from July the 1st, you can vote for us at podcastalley.com. Well, I'm Marie Urshard, and that was Knitcast. Thanks for listening.